Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
This year is a great year for us. We're in our 50th year of ministry, 1965. God put it on the heart of just a couple of people to start a ministry here in Denver. And when they started that ministry and they were following their papers with the government, they put down Faith Bible Chapel International. Now, how bold is that? Come on. Few families saying international when they put on it. But as we now trace back over the 50 years, God has truly used this ministry in an international way. Many countries that we're involved in, many countries that people have come through this ministry are now working in those fields out there, especially in the nation of Israel and the things that have happened there. Who would have known that Israel truly would be in the forefront of everyone's mind and what's happening in the Middle East? And yet we as a ministry have been able to speak into the leadership of Israel, prophetic things, and remind them of the scriptures, remind them of the God that has called them, and that it's God working for them, and it's the reason they're there back in their land. And we will continue to do that. But again, the question, who would have known 50 years ago, except by faith? Who can know what's going to happen over the next 50 years except by faith? We are truly believing that this 50th year of celebration is going to be used to kind of recharge. I think that's okay to do. You need to recharge, to restart, rebirth, rejuvenation, call it what you will. God set a principle in place, and it's brought out in the book of Leviticus, chapter 25. You can read that if you want to know about Jubilee and this 50-year celebration. But basically what it says there, God said every 50 years, you're to take a time when you reflect on me. And the way you're going to do this is you're going to cease from doing your own works. In other words, they were said they're not to plant, they're not to water their crops, they're to trust that God has provided for them through that year. So it was time of just refocus, focusing back on God and putting our trust in Him. And so we're celebrating 50 years, and we're going to do the same thing. And we talked about Jubilee. Say Jubilee with me. When you hear the word Jubilee, I think your thoughts go to celebration. Mine do, and that's what it does mean. It means liberty, and I don't think it's happenstance that the Liberty Bell that was given to us as a gift, and is to summon the people to hear the Declaration of Independence, has inscribed on it Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10. Proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants is on that Liberty Bell. Was that happenstance or God ordained? God ordained. I believe it was God ordained, speaking a word, a prophetic word of the United States of America, that we would be a place where people could find freedom and liberty. And it certainly has been true about this country. So we're proclaiming this year that more liberty is going to come into your life. More freedom is going to come into your life. There's going to be a time of restoration, a time of reclaiming, taking back maybe some of the things the enemy has stolen from you. It's a time of focusing in on the subject of repentance and forgiveness, offering forgiveness to people and receiving forgiveness from other people. So it really is a very important time. Along with the thought of Jubilee, we thought it needs to be, we need to put in place some really foundational things, and one of them is fasting and prayer. I don't think we could ever accomplish what we're expecting unless it's done through fasting and prayer. And that's why the subject today is fasting for focus. Say it with me, fasting for focus. We need to focus. We need a clear image. I think in three areas. I want a clear picture and perspective, understanding of what took place over 50 years so that we can learn from it and grow from it. I want a clear picture, focus of where we're at right now. Where are you at right now in your relationship with the Lord, relationship with your mate, in relationship with other people, in relationship to God and His calling on your life? And then we need a clear picture as much as possible, as much as God wants to reveal about the future. So we need focus. What fasting does, it slows us down. It makes us reflect, take our minds off the flesh, and get our minds on the spiritual things of God. So we're calling the church fast. We're going to fast from Monday through Friday. Some people are going to fast the whole time. Others are going to do a partial fast. They're just going to maybe restrict the food and have a liquid fast. Some people are going to fast maybe one meal a day during those five. Whatever God leads you to do, here's the important thing, the spirit of the fast. The spirit of the fast is to kind of, we want to get rid of any pride in our life, any self-sufficiency problems we might have, attitudes that we might have, so that we can move on. Now, Isaiah chapter 58, and that's where I'm going to look at right now. In Isaiah chapter 58, it lays out for us in the first five verses, it's a rebuke. God rebukes the children of Israel. They have been fasting, but have become a religious activity. It was one more of kind of just going through, but yet meaning nothing to them. They weren't getting the benefits of the fast. But in verse 6, which I'm going to pick up reading right now, you get a picture of what God says can happen through the fast. Now, I want you to see how it relates to, and that's why I gave this paper, because I'm not going to have time to go into all the details of it. God's given me a word for this congregation and for you. We're going to approach this whole fasting for focus from a different angle, different than I've ever done before. But this paper will help reveal that. Now, notice the words. Isaiah 58, we'll pick it up in verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. I claim that, Jesus, in 2015. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him. So you get a sense that God is putting us in a position where we're more sensitive to our surroundings, more Christ-like, God-like to our approach to the world around us and people. Not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then, say then. Now notice, when you fast the proper way, here's what's going to happen. Your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. So a proper approach and the use of fasting, the spirit of the fast, going before God and just kind of submitting ourselves to him and saying, God, we need to rely on you. We cannot see the things we are expecting to be accomplished unless, Lord, you do it with us. You do it for us almost. I have some great expectations. I said this last week. Matter of fact, I have such high expectations for you and for this congregation for next year. There was almost like the enemy was trying to send a spirit of fear. Do you really think, and I was beginning to entertain, do you really think you're going to reach all those things? And immediately the Spirit of God said, listen, you're not going to do it. I'm going to do it for you. Because what you're expecting, just add 10 times, 100 times. I'm expecting more from your life. Whatever you think you want to do in 2015, God wants to do more for you. Above and beyond what you're imagining in your heart or mind. Why? Because I believe God wants to bless you. I believe he wants to bless you. So, with that in mind, study that piece of paper. But let's approach it from another angle. I want to go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings in chapter 13. I'm going to go back to a story about a Bible character that we made mention of several weeks back. A man by the name of Elijah. Now, Elijah is similar to another man. His name is Elijah. Now, let me give you the difference between them. Elijah is the older man. He's the prophet that was well known because he challenged the king of Israel, Ahab. He said, listen, the people are far from God. You're not doing what is right. You're not following his commandments. The result of it was is that he challenged the prophets of Baal, the pagan gods that they were serving. And you remember the story. He takes the prophets to the mount, 450 prophets of Baal plus others, and he wins a great victory. I mean, he not only challenged them, he beat them bad. He killed all the prophets. The nation of Israel turns back to God. So he had a lot of power with God. He was a prophet. And Elijah ends up coming to near the end of his life. He knows that he needs a successor. So God leads him to another man by the name of Elijah. Elijah is working on his family farm. He's plowing with the oxen and the plow. Elijah sees him and he goes and takes his garb or his mantle and he puts it on Elijah's shoulder and he walks away. He doesn't say anything. Elijah immediately jumps off the plow and he follows after him. The end result of that was is he made a commitment that day that he was going to follow Elijah and become a man of God. So he takes that step. He goes back, says bye to his family. He takes the oxen and he slays the oxen, uses them as sacrifice, but he uses the wood from the plow to actually cause the fire for the sacrifice. So he's cutting ties with his past. You got that? All right. Elijah continues to follow him. And then we're coming now to 2 Kings chapter 13. So I'm going to kind of go in reverse. I want to take you to the end of Elijah's life. And then we're going to back up a little bit. Let's read the story. This is the end of Elijah's life. Verse 14 says, Elijah had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him. He wept over his face and said to him, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And Elijah said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." So he put his hand on it. And Elijah put his hands, note this, he put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, "Open the east window." And he opened it. Then Elijah said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians," note this, "of effect, till you have destroyed them." Strike them till you have destroyed them. Then he said, "Take the arrows." So he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground." And he struck three times. And he stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you have destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times." Let me keep this story in mind and try to get this picture in mind as we think about this approach of fasting for focus. There's a couple things that I'm going to make note of here that we're going to focus in, and I'll mention them in just a moment. Hopefully we'll leave here with a kind of a goal, if you will, or something that we're going to run after. Two areas in which we need to focus ourselves. But let's remind ourselves of what this celebration wants to be this year. Again, I am believing for you more than I'm believing for myself. And I'll tell you why. I wouldn't call it so much of a frustration as much of a burden. And from my point of view and from my advantage point of pastoring this great church, and I've been part of this church 44 of the 50 years, so I've seen what God has done in people's lives. I saw what God has done in my life. And as I see what God has done and has begun in people's life, I've also been able to trace a lot of people's lives as they move on in their walk. They have left their past. They made a decision. They've even told other people, "I've left that. I'm not living that way any longer." And as I've watched their lives, I've noticed a couple things. Some have stopped and went back to their old life. And that breaks one's heart. I'm sure it breaks the heart of God. God, who delivered them, gave his sacrifice for them, provided through his resurrection a new life, an eternal life. People have turned and went back. Other people have not turned and gone back, but they, along the way, have compromised themselves. They have come short of all that God had for them. And this is where somewhat of the burden of the frustration. Why are you settling for less than what God has for you? And I'm not just talking about people who have settled in an area of sin or a habit or an addiction, as much as settled and allowed the enemy to rob from them the joy that they ought to have as believers. Rob from them the liberty in which God has set them free. That is very frustrating. And to see them battle this over and over and over again. And what happens is what Paul said in Galatians. He said, don't be weary in well-doing. You can get weary in doing well. You're fighting the battle. You're running after God. The world is pounding at you. You have one challenge after another, and it just wears you down. It wearies you. Paul goes on to say, he said, listen, you need to keep planting the seeds. He said, if you keep sowing, you're going to reap. And a lot of times, here's what we think. We think what we're going to reap is going to happen here. And I do believe that some of the things God wants you to experience here, some of the reaping of that joy, for sure. But not all of the victory is going to come until Jesus Christ returns to this earth. Do you know that? So we're not going to be totally set free. I'm going to need a little help in this message. So a nod from your head or an amen will help a whole lot, okay? Now, I know you're just focusing on the words. But listen, God wants us to have these things. He wants to bless us. So our challenge for 2015 and this Jubilee is to take a good look, focus in with a clear view. God, I am thankful for what you've done, but I see where I'm at, and I don't believe I'm at where you want me to be. And Lord, I believe you want me to enter into something fresh and something new, an area that I haven't entered into before. That's what I'm believing happen in your life and in the ministry of this church. I've watched the ministry of this church change lives that have changed the world. And I've seen that's been a tremendous, tremendous thing over and over again. I want to see more of that. I want to see more life change. I want to see those seats that you're sitting beside that are empty. I want to see them full in 2015. Because not just to bring glory to God. Now listen to this. Not just to bring fame or recognition to Faith Bible Chapel, but this is what Jesus died for. This is why Jesus came. It expressed the heart of the Father who created us that's how much he loves man. He would give his life. And when he rose from the dead, it proved over and over again that he is God and God alone could give new life. So as hopeless as you might feel, as hopeless as we see people in the world, and you might even have friends and relatives right now, you're saying, I don't know if there's any hope for them. You know, that's what my brother said about me. I can't believe it to this day. My brother, who was living in a tree and was a hippie and totally freaked out and couldn't even put two words together to make up a sentence, says that there's no hope for me. Anyway, that's a whole other story. He gets saved. But he believed enough to invite me to come to his wedding. And yeah, there was hope for me. So I know there's hope for people in this world. No matter how far they've gone, Jesus has gone further for them. He's gone to the very depths of hell itself, challenged the enemy, and took back the keys of death and life and rose victoriously. So because of that, I want to see this place explode with people that have come in and got a hold of what God has for them. So I'm believing for that, but I'm also believing for more victory in your life. Victory over what? Victory over depressions. Victory over addictions. Victory over habits that keep clinging to you. Victory over anger in your life. Victory over not being able to get along with people, and it's because your attitude is not what it needs to be. So you might have come a little way, but you've stopped. And you're not allowing the God by his Spirit to prune you and to perfect you and to make you all, because you see it maybe as God trying to intrude on your life, and yet God's not trying to intrude on your life. He's trying to improve your life. He knows what he wants to do for you, and we just need to release God to do it. Back to the story. So you have Elijah at the end of his life. He gives this strange instruction to the king. But let me take you back. Elijah was known as a man who had a double portion of God's anointing. How many have heard that phrase? I'm going to tell you why he had the double portion. Why he had a double portion, Elijah, who was the one he followed after, the one who mentored him, had a great anointing on his life. Think about it. How much of an anointing to challenge the king and to defeat the prophets of Baal. I mean, he had a tremendous, he saw people raised from the dead. So there's no doubt he had an anointing on his life. And Elijah was following him, watching him. And as he watched him, and it got to the end of Elijah's life, he wanted what Elijah had, but he even wanted more. Somehow he got a hold of this faith to believe that, you know, Elijah had an anointing to do what he did. And I've watched that. But whether or not he saw that the problems were maybe bigger and more intense than they've ever been, and he saw that by faith, and he said, if I'm going to do what I know God's calling me to do, I can't settle for Elijah's anointing. I need a double portion. So the very last days of Elijah, he's walking where he's going to go and be with the Lord. You know, he doesn't die. He actually is caught up by a chariot, and supernaturally, he's whisked away. He just goes in a chariot of fire up into heaven. So Elijah follows him those last days, and Elijah stops and says, listen, and I'm paraphrasing this, why are you following me? You stay here. And Elijah said, no, I'm going to go where you're going. So he was persistent. He was persevering into something. Keep that in mind. And as he got to the time when Elijah was ready to depart, Elijah said to him finally, okay, what do you want, Elijah? What is it that you really want? And Elijah said this, I want a double portion of your anointing. Think about the boldness of that. Think about as we go into the year of Jubilee. Think about as we go into 2015 and years beyond. Are you bold enough in the faith to say, God, I want more than I've ever had before? I want a double portion of your anointing. Lord, things are too difficult to do it on my own. Things are too intense. Things are not getting better in the world, they're getting worse. God, I need a double portion. And as I watch this ministry over the last 50 years, meet the challenges, I see the next 50 years as being bigger challenges than we've had before. I see bigger obstacles. I see the warfare of the enemy intensifying as we see the approach of Jesus coming. I see the enemy just kind of mustering the troops to attack people like he's never attacked people. And as a minister, I'm saying, God, we can't get by with the last 50 years anointing. We need a double portion of your anointing. If we're going to see breakthroughs, if we're going to see deliverances, if we're going to see marriages healed, if we're going to see our young people raised up in an atmosphere of holiness, faced with the things that they're faced with, we need a double portion of your anointing, God. We need it on our youth leaders. We need it on our pastors. We need it on our fathers. We need it on our mothers. We need it on all of us. We need a double portion, folks. It's not going to make it the next 50 years without something fresh and new from God. The question is, are you ready for it? First of all, are you ready to ask for it? And then are you ready to walk in it? So here's Elijah. And Elijah said, okay. He said, if you see me go up into the clouds, then your request is going to be granted. So he sees Elijah whisk away. He goes up in a chariot of fire, and the mantle of Elijah floats to the ground. Elijah goes over and picks up the mantle. He saw it. So he picks up the mantle, and he heads back and he tests it right there at the river. And he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he strikes the river and it splits. So he knew that God had anointed him. He didn't know to the extent the anointing was, but he knew he was anointed. But here's what the Bible says. You got to get this. The Bible says that when that mantle fell, it inserts words in there. This is found in 2 Kings chapter 2. And it says that Elijah tore off his own clothes. Get that? He tore off his own clothes and he put that mantle on. I'm going to explain to you. This is how you get the double portion. Here's how you get the anointing that you're going to need for the breakthroughs you're believing for next year. Here it is. When Elijah took that first step, of separating himself from his family, the work, his job, and following after Elijah. It's kind of like that initial contact that you come into with the Lord. It's that initial revelation that something hits you. It hit me when I was 24 years old. I know when it happened. Something hit you, and you realize for the first time that God is real. He's not just some figment of someone's imagination. He's just not out there. I mean, but God is real. And in that realization, you begin to say, hey, I think God loves me. And then you begin to grab hold of that. God loves me, and now I know that's why Jesus came. So there's that initial understanding and revelation of God's will for you personally, and God's will that extends all to mankind, that he died for us, he rose again to give us new life and eternal life. So you take that step and you say, wow, my old life, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm cutting ties with my old life, and I'm moving on. Elijah did that, and he moves on. But if you want a double portion of God's anointing, there's another step. And here's the other step. Now, you're saying you're adding to salvation? No. If you really want to press in and get all that God has for you, there's another step. If you really want to be more intentional about your walk, if you really want godliness, if you really want holiness, if you really want the double anointing, the double portion of God's anointing, here's what you have to do. You have to start tearing off the old clothes. You follow what I'm saying? You got to start taking off those things that you haven't totally removed from you. Some of the old habits. You started out, there were some changes that were taking place, but you stopped. So you aren't as angry as you used to be, but you still have anger in your heart. You seem to forgive a little bit more, but you don't forgive everyone. You're kind of not as deeply involved in that habit, but you still have that habit. It's just not you're totally left the Lord, but you're not really in the place where he wants you to be, into the Holy of Holies, into his presence where the holiness is experienced. So you haven't torn off some of the old clothes, the old habits. And maybe you've allowed the enemy to keep depression on your life. And you wrestle over depression, anxieties, fears, and worries. And it's because you started out believing God could do everything, but for whatever reason, you don't believe that. You might say it, but your life is not living. You're not as free. So you need to tear those things off to put on. So there was a taking away. I want to give you some scriptures here. Starting in Colossians, we have what this is the New Testament now, talking about this principle of taking off and putting on. Colossians chapter 3 says, do not lie to one another, since you have what? Come on, I told you, I need a little help. Put off the old man with his deeds. That doesn't mean you get rid of your husband. Some of you will get it later. Put off the old man with his deeds. You see, that old life is called the old man. That's the way I used to live. But listen, if I'm going to go on and get a double portion, I've got to stop, first of all, lying to one another, but I want to put off that old man. Look at Colossians again here. But now you yourselves are to, say it again, put off, and we'll get to where more of you are saying it, all these, what? Anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. You're continuing. Paul's talking to believers. You're not talking to heathens right here. He's talking to the church. He said, listen, it's time you guys start putting off some things. You've stopped in your growth, and you still have some anger, and you still have some malice in your heart and blasphemy. And I mean, your language is not what, it doesn't glorify God. An interesting thing happened to me Friday. And I was out, and I was in a place where I was waiting for the receptionist to greet me, and I know her, and she knows me, and this guy in front of me was giving her a hard time. She obviously knew him too, and he said some words I cannot repeat to you right now. Okay, so you understand what kind of words he said. All right, so he said these things, and she said, you better watch out. That man right now there is a minister. You should have seen the look on his. Now, this is a big guy. He's bigger than me, but he's built a lot better than me. So he's kind of like, and he turns around, he's white. He said, "Sir, I am really sorry." I said, "Listen, you don't have to ask me for forgiveness." I kind of left it at that. But you know, you know right away what you're identifying. Your language, many times, I'm not just talking about cursing, but some of the things that come out of your mouth, whether it be gossip or whether it be putting other people down, that doesn't identify you as a born again, different kind of guy than you were before. That identifies you with everybody else that's in the world that doesn't know God. So Paul said, and you got to get out of that. If you want a double portion of the anointing, if you want to move on, if you want greater things to be accomplished, look at this next verse. Faster. Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning your former what? How many of you are acting the same way you used to? Now, I want to tell you what kind of message this is. I was greeting people on the way out, and this guy said to me, "God used you to kick my butt." So that's the kind of message it is, okay? Right now. He said, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. I mean, how many of us are still hanging on? How many of us are still allowing those lusts and those mind to go where it shouldn't go and desires and things? How many of us are still holding on to it? But you say you're a Christian. I'm telling you, with all the love I can muster up in my heart, God wants you to have a double portion, and you're not going to get the double portion. You're not going to move into kind of anointing that you need, kind of just hanging back there. You're not going to be totally defeat the enemy. You're stopping along the way. Look at the next verse. It says that, next one, cast off the works of what? Those are works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. You see, God wants us to put an armor of light. There should be something about you in your walk with God that just shines. There's a light about you. You don't really have to say anything. It's just a glow that you have. You ever come across someone and you knew right away they were a believer? There's just something about you. Just you could sit down beside them. You could be talking, "Man, I just said that person is just a believer." They act differently. Here's a go into the next part of putting on. Put on, say put on now. So there's a taking off or putting off, and then there's a putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what? Make no provision for the flesh. Too many of us are fooling around. We're too close to the world. We kind of got one foot in and one foot out. And you see, you're making provision for the flesh. You're setting yourself up for a fall. And you might think, "Well, you know, I made this commitment. I'm a believer, but I don't feel any urgency. I don't feel any sense that I have to move on." I want to tell you, you're setting yourself up for a fall. Because things don't get naturally better. What they do is you're making provision for the flesh, and you will naturally go the way of deceitfulness and fall into that trap. Bring up the next one. It says, and have put on the new man who is renewed, jubilee. These next year, I want to see us renewed in our mind, in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Listen, you know what our goal is? Our goal is not that we're just better. Our goal is to be more Christ-like. To be more Christ-like, do we represent him at Armor Light? I think I have one more here. Ephesians 4, and that you put on again the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Did you ever think that maybe your goal or resolution for 2015, Lord, I want to walk in holiness. Well, that can give you a little scary. What do you mean, walk in holiness? Well, God says, be holy, for I am holy. It's not possible in your own strength. It has to be the Spirit of God working in you and through you to be more Christ-like and be more holy in those things. Back to our story. We're back to Elijah now at the end of his life. At the end of his life, he says to the king, take the bow. And he said, I want you to take the bow. I want you to take an arrow. So he takes a bow and he takes the arrow. Now, make sure I get this right. This is right. Borrowed bow. So anyway, he said, I want you to put an arrow in the bow. And you notice I had them take the tips off. because I didn't want to accidentally shoot someone and kill them, you know. I'm making no provision for the flesh. I don't want to be tempted to deal with some problems, you know, that, well, anyway. So I took the tips off. I don't want to make provision for the flesh opportunity. But he said, take the bow. He said, go ahead and open that east window. The east window. Elijah knew that the enemy was out there on the east. It was, the Syrians were coming, attacking them. He said, I want you to shoot. And remember what I told you to do? Shoot until the enemy is what? Destroyed. Shoot until the enemy is totally destroyed. So he shot the arrow. He said, then, okay, after you do that, he said, I want you to take arrows. And I got a bunch of arrows here. I'll grab like three of them. And he said, I want you to take the arrows, and we want you to strike the ground. Strike the ground. Okay, so he took the arrows. Now, I don't know what was really happening here, and I don't want to read into it, but I don't think the king was enthusiastic about doing what Elijah said. Maybe he didn't get it. But he struck, and he only struck three times. Now, whether he just, it was his attitude, or whether it was his approach, you know, your attitude and approach to life will make a big difference. How do you approach your relationship with God? I mean, do you approach it with enthusiasm? Do you approach it with, God, I want everything that you have for me? How do you approach coming to church on Sunday? Do you approach it with an expectation, anticipation that you're going to meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Do you approach it, you're going to come into the midst of the congregation of saints and believers and anything can happen and God's going to do something fresh in my life today? Or do you approach it with, well, it's Sunday, let's get it over with? I mean, how enthusiastic are we about our relationship with the Lord? Is it just because it's the popular thing in America to call yourself a Christian and be named among Christians? Is it just that we want to go and all we want to do is be entertained? And you know, we have a lot of good things going for us, but why do you go to church? Do you go to be entertained? Do you go just to sit there and have people just pull you out for a little bit, get a little bit of relief, a kind of shot in the arm? What's the difference between that and taking drugs? Come on. Really? Or just to relieve me, or do you approach it with so much sincerity that, man, it wasn't this king, I don't think he had the sincerity. And when he struck, he only struck three times. Now, he didn't know how many times he was to strike. So you almost say, well, Elijah, what do you expect from him? You didn't tell him how many times. He said, if you would have struck five or six times, then the enemy would have been destroyed. There's some place of breakthrough. There's some place that God's going to bring you to, and you're going to have to press in. You're going to have to break through. You're going to have to hang in there. You're going to have to persevere in order to get the anointing. But we are so instant gratification. You know, give it to me and give it to me quick and let me go on with my life. Listen, it's not going to be that way with God. I want to ask you, how serious are you with your relationship? How much do you want that double anointing? How much do you want to see the kingdom of God expand? How much do you really want to see your relatives saved? How much deliverance do you want in your life? Well, you know, it's going to take a little bit of focus. It's more intentionality. It's more fasting. It's more in coming before the Lord. It's more, and listen, you say, well, that's easy for you. You're a pastor and you have that kind of anointing. Hey, listen, every one of us are faced with the same things, the same challenges. And you got to make a choice and you got to make a decision. Even when you don't feel like it, when the enemy's bombarding you, you know by faith what the Word of God says. And by faith, you're going to get it. You're going to press in and you're going to take those arrows and you're not going to be like that king that just, man, but you're going to hit that ground. You're going to hit that ground. You're going to hit that ground. You're going to hit that ground until you see a breakthrough. And then the whole enemy will be destroyed. Now, there's another part to this. Go back to the bow. So he had the bow. He had that arrow. once again. Now, you got to get this, because we're going to get nowhere unless you see this. You're not going to have the breakthrough until you see this. So he said, King, take the bow. So he took the bow. And when he grabbed hold of the bow, something happened. Elijah came up behind him. Now, Elijah, it says that he was sick, but he was still in the spirit. He was still moving out in his double portion of anointing. And he came up behind the king, and the Bible says that he put his hands on the hand of the king. Come on. He put his hand. In other words, as you go into 2015, as we celebrate Jubilee, as we go on in the next 50 years, listen, you better not take that bow and expect to have the strength to hit the target. But I want to tell you what's available. God said, I'll come along. If you want it, I'll come along. I'll put my hands on your hands. That represents the divine anointing of God. I'll tell you, I'm going to miss. Even with this crowd, I'd probably miss. Not likely, but I'd probably miss. But I'm going to miss the target. I can't do it. I don't have the strength to pull back the bow all the time. I don't have it. Why? Listen, God's not expecting you to do it in your own strength. Matter of fact, contrary to that, you're fasting in prayer and humbling yourself before God and saying, God, I don't have the strength. And Lord, if you don't move, if you don't come in, if you don't show up, if your hands aren't on my hand, I'm going to miss the target. But God said, here's what I promise you. I'll put my hands on your hand. Guess what? God's not going to miss. So you target in on that habit and you say, God, zero in on that habit. I'll tell you, he's going to hit it. Zero in on the enemy. He's bringing depression in my life. God's going to zero in and bring you the victory. But it's going to be his anointing. His hands on your hands. So what do? We got to focus. First of all, what do we need to put off? You know. I don't have to list them. You know right now. I believe the Spirit of God is moving through this place right now and showing you there are things in your life that you've been hanging on to, that you've settled in on, you have stopped in your growth. You know it. I don't have to tell you. The Holy Spirit's your teacher. Are you listening? Are you serious enough about your relationship that you want to break every habit, every hold, every addiction, everything the enemy is on? This year, I'm going to get it back. I'm going to retrieve. I'm going to get back what God has done for me. You know what it is. And then you got to make another decision. Are you willing to take off? And then are you willing to put on the responsibility of I'm going to be a believer in Jesus Christ, not by name only. I'm not just going to be a hearer of the word. I'm going to be a doer of the word. I'm going to put action. I'm going to put feet to what I'm saying. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to live the way Jesus, not in my own strength, but God, by the strength of Almighty God and the double portion and the anointing, I'm going to live my life for you. It'll make a big difference in your life. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Would you do that? All right. Here's what we're going to do. You need to get your edge back. I thought about this as I'm going into 2015. Listen, I better not go in and try to chop down the obstacle trees with a dull axe. I better not try to go on in and meet the challenges that this church is going to meet if we don't have the anointing of God, if we don't have a double portion. I need the edge sharpened. Abraham Lincoln said this, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first four sharpening the axe. Solomon said it this way, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, listen, then he must use more strength. Listen, I don't think we need to use more strength. We need less strength. Solomon says, but wisdom brings success. So here's what we got to do. God, I want my axe sharpened. I want to use more wisdom, Lord. And I know it's more humbling myself before you. It's more submitting to your word. It's more allowing the word like a sword pierced, dividing between what is soul and spirit. God, you know. So Lord, when I hear your word, let it be like that sword. Let it cut. Let it divide. Separate me from those things. And how serious are you? We're going to sing a song. Matter of fact, I want you to stand, if you will.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.